the infamy that the United States will live under for decades for our complicity in this genocide is just, you know, it's heartbreaking. And it doesn't have to happen, but when you've got a president and his advisors that don't seem to care about this, you know, about 34,000 people, much less the national security of our own country, which has to be jeopardized by what the United States is doing in countenancing this genocide. It just makes you shake your head in disbelief.
Yeah, and you know so well the power of diplomacy. I know you've used it in action to resolve conflicts, and the real, you know, what's behind all of this, in addition to Zionism, is the military industrial complex and continuing to want to profit, sell more weapons. And
yeah, and well, the protests that are going on at weapons manufacturers are really good. Mm-hmm. I mean, taking to task Boeing and Raytheon and Elbit, because we know for sure that they are making a killing out of this killing, and going to their production plants and closing them down for hours and days is really good. And going to the ports and trying to stop shipments of munitions that will eventually end up in Israel is really, really important.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Anne, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to speak with me. And thank you so much for the amazing work that you do. You're just nonstop. You're everywhere, and you continue to organize, and you're such an inspiration to me and to so many people. So thank you for the work that you do.
Well, thank you, Margaret. And thanks for Popular Resistance and Clearing the Fog. These are two great, great places that we look to find out what's going on. So I'm honored to have been a part of this today. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, that's all for today. You've been listening to Clearing the Fog, Speaking Truth to Expose the Forces of Greed on Pacifica Radio, WBAI, 99.5 FM in New York City. If you like what you heard today, consider becoming a Clearing the Fog buddy by making a monthly donation to WBAI.org. I'm Margaret Flowers. My guest today was Colonel Anne Wright. I'll go out with a song by Junkyard Empire. It's called We Want.
Revolutions Per Minute is a weekly radio show from the New York City chapter of the Democratic Socialists of America, recorded live at WBAI 99.5 FM in Brooklyn every Tuesday at 7 p.m. RPM is about doing the work to build a democratic socialist future. Each week, hear the latest news, analysis, and organizing experience from the minds and hearts of activists fighting every day in New York City. Join the movement at socialists.nyc.
Be in New York City. You're listening to Revolutions Per Minute, live from the new WBAI studios, a socialist radio show and podcast from members of New York City Democratic Socialist of America. The Democratic Socialist of America is the largest socialist organization in the United States, with 95,000 members nationwide, and New York City DSA is its biggest chapter. We are run by our 9,000-plus members and organizers who are working together to build democratic socialism in all five boroughs. I'm Lisa Shee, I use she, her pronouns, and I'm an eco-socialist organizer joining you tonight from Tucson, Arizona, which is occupied Thana Othum and Yaqui land. 1864, That's the year Arizona's abortion ban was passed. The archaic law has remained dormant since 1976, when Roe v. Wade made abortion legal nationwide. But a little over a month ago, on April 6th, the Arizona Supreme Court resurrected the law, banning abortion in almost all cases. The Arizona legislature has since passed another law to repeal the 1864 ban, which would default the state to a still strict 15-week ban on abortion because of a law that was passed and signed by former Republican Governor Doug Ducey in 2022. Meanwhile, a coalition called Arizona for Abortion Access has been busy gathering hundreds of thousands of signatures to get a constitutional amendment on the November ballot that would create a fundamental right to receive abortion care up until fetal viability. Tonight, we'll bring you a dispatch from the front lines of the fight for abortion rights here in Arizona and talk to socialist organizers about how they're trying to change the dynamic so reproductive rights can no longer be tossed around like a football during election years. We'll also be opening up the phone lines around 7:40. You know, we always love to hear from you on RPM. So if you want to jot down this number and call in a little bit later in the show, it's 212-209-2877. And first, the headlines with Alex Randazzo.
Hello, listeners. This is Alex with your headlines for today, Tuesday, May 14th. In local news, some Columbia University students who were suspended for participating in protests against Israel's war on Gaza are suing the university to regain access to their dorms. The New York Equal Rights Amendment, which would enshrine abortion rights in the state constitution, may or may not be on the ballot in November, depending on how courts rule on a procedural challenge to how the amendment was passed by the legislature. Additionally, the appellate division in Albany sided with ex-governor Andrew Cuomo in his quest to retain the $5.1 million he received for his COVID hero book in 2020. The decision may ultimately undermine the enforcement authority of the state's newly formed ethics commission. Moreover, Winnie Grieco, the top aide to Mayor Eric Adams, whose home was raided by the FBI in February, is back at work in City Hall, now at double her initial salary. Finally, a group of McDonald's franchisees, known as New Yorkers for Local Businesses, has been lobbying to kill bills meant to combat wage theft in New York. In election news, State Senator Zell Normyri, District 20, Central Brooklyn, announced a run for mayor in 2025, challenging Eric Adams. He is the second Democrat after Scott Stringer, who announced plans to run. Furthermore, a Republican challenge to New York's new early vote-by-mail law was rejected by a New York appeals court. For Revolutions Per Minute, this is Alex Randazzo. Now, back to the studio for today's show.
Thanks, Alex. Our headlines are brought to you by The Thorn, an incredible weekly newsletter by New York City DSA Electoral Working Group covering local politics and radical activism. Subscribe at thethornnyc.substack.com. You're listening to Revolutions Per Minute on listener-sponsored WBAI in New York City, broadcasting at 99.5 FM. I'm Lee Zishi, and tonight we're bringing you a dispatch from the front lines of Arizona's fight for abortion rights. For years, RPM has brought you these types of on-the-ground reports. Just 2 weeks ago, we did a really powerful show with some on-the-ground reporting from some of the student Palestinian solidarity encampments across the city. You know, over the years, we have brought you voices from picket lines, from protests. And, you know, if RPM isn't physically on the ground, you can count on that we are always talking to the folks who are actually doing the organizing, like the organizing on shop floors for unions. It truly does not get any more grassroots than Revolutions Per Minute on WBAI. So if this is something that you appreciate, especially in a media environment that is just getting dominated by capitalism and is devouring itself and barely exists anymore, you hear it all the time. We could not do this without you. So if you can become a monthly donor and sustain us, sustain this show, become a BAI buddy in the name of Revolutions Per Minute, you can call the station at 212-209-2877. 2950. Again, that number is 212-209-2950, or you can go to WBAI.org. And, you know, it's just, it's not just Revolutions Per Minute. WBAI is full of shows that are produced by organizers or journalists who understand the importance of organizers. So that means we are interviewing the people that are actually doing the work. I was just listening to The Independent a little bit earlier. They have amazing on the ground coverage. As somebody who did organizing on the ground in New York for a long time, was on their show many times. Just doing really, really great work. You know, Pacifica has shows like Democracy Now! And if you saw that amazing clip of Amy Goodman, you know, she was just out walking her dog and ended up covering the protests, the student protests. So you will not get this kind of coverage anywhere else. And WBAI really needs you to stay on the air. So if you're able to give, become a monthly donor, or just give a one-time donation, no donation is too small. You can go again to WBAI.org or call 212-209-2950. And so tonight we're talking about Arizona's fight for abortion access. On Saturday, May 4th, I was on the University of Arizona campus where a rally was being organized by students for reproductive rights. Let's take a listen to that rally.
So my name is Kiara Mary, and I am a freshman here at the University of Arizona, and I'm a founder of Rally for Roe, which is one of the organizers that put this on. We started our organization back in 2021. After the Dobbs decision overturned Roe v. Wade. Boo! Shame! Well, I'm ecstatic to hear that Katie Hobbs has repealed Arizona's complete abortion ban. The fight for reproductive rights has not yet been won. The right-wing theocratic agenda wants to tear our freedom away from us. I stand here today with fewer fundamental rights than my mother had at my age, and I am furious. Furious that their power over our democracy is stronger than our, that it is not able to protect us. Our democracy is supposed to protect us, not to serve the few. The trajectory of this nation is backwards and shameful, and we must continue to be loud and continue to fight. The path we are on, it does not end at abortion bans, nor does it end with IVF, mifepristone, or contraception bans. The Republican goal has been clear from the beginning. They aim to tear down the women of this country. They aim to control our bodies so they can control our minds. And I say enough. So today, we stand here in protest and in unity as a community who will absolutely not tolerate anyone stepping on our rights, no matter how hard they try. Because the harder they work to silence us, whether it be in the legislature, with pens and with paper, or on the streets with batons and rubber bullets, we will only grow louder. I want to encourage this community, as a 19-year-old who can barely manage to do the dishes or do my laundry, that you can make change. We are capable, we are strong, and we are many. Let's take to the streets. Let's take to social media. Let's organize in numbers and stand up for our rights.
My name is Helene. I'm a co-founder of Rally for Roe. And 2 years ago, Kiara and I started this organization and did a high school walkout of all of Tucson high schools against the Dobbs decision, which was the decision that repealed Roe v. Wade, as you all know. Then we were angry, and we had no to say in a decision that stripped us of our autonomy. And we are here today again because of that same horrific decision, and that anger has not gone away. We are livid that our control over our future continues to be taken from us, and we are livid that we continue to go further and further backwards, that we still have less rights than our mothers did. We are facing the detrimental effects of the Dobbs decision from 2 years ago still. Without national abortion protection, the Arizona Supreme Court was able to reinstitute a total abortion ban from 1864, taking us back to a time when women couldn't vote, when women couldn't own property, and when there wasn't even a legal definition of rape. These bans, still as the governor signs a law hoping to repeal this 1864 abortion ban, Arizona defaults to a ban at a mere 15 weeks without any exceptions for rape or incest. These bans don't represent us. The politicians who refuse to nationally codify Roe v. Wade don't represent us. And the four members of the Arizona Supreme Court, just like the six members of the U.S. Supreme Court who made this decision, certainly don't represent us. So who will fight to protect our rights when our legal systems fail us? We will. I know we are still scared and we are still livid. I know we still feel often helpless. But we are the start of change. We may be small, but our voices are loud. And they are echoed and amplified by the millions of other women around the country who will not accept this. Many of us are young. People say that means our voices don't matter and that our opinions don't matter. It's easy to get defeated. It is so easy for us to be crushed under the weight of issues like abortion bans, climate change, and genocide in Gaza. We shouldn't have to take politics into our own hands when we could be studying and trusting the adults to care for us and our futures. But they have lost our trust. Now we give each other hope. And now this is our fight. Thank you.
You're listening to Revolutions Per Minute on listener-sponsored WBAI in New York City, broadcasting at 99.5 FM. I'm Leah Zishi, and you just heard from student organizers on the University of Arizona campus. And we have more coming up on the fight for abortion rights in the Grand Canyon State. But first, a reminder that WBAI is in an emergency fundraising mode right now. If you're a longtime listener from WBAI, you know it's a constant struggle to keep community radio on the air, but we are in a pretty dire situation right now. So if you're able to give anything, I'm going to ask you again. I heard it previously on the Indie, you know, this is like not our favorite thing to do. We do not love asking you for money. We know so many of our listeners are just hardworking class people. But we are asking you for money because it is the only way that we can stay on air. So if you can give to the station, please call 212-209-2950. Again, that number is 212-209-2950. You can also go to WBAI.org, become a BAI buddy in the name of Revolutions Per Minute. The station has to raise $250,000 to remain alive. So our rent is something like $17,000 a month to have our tower. And, you know, it is literally and physically like the only way that we can reach so many people with these really important stories. So consider becoming a monthly donor. You know that we can count on your donation. That will help us stay on the air. It'll help us plan these shows, make sure that we can pay the rent. It's just the rent is too dang high. But really consider becoming a sustaining donor in the name of Revolutions Per Minute. You know, at this moment where there is an ongoing genocide, when we have presidential elections only several months away, it could not be more crucial for there to be independent stations like WBAI that don't take any corporate money. We don't have to worry about having sponsors that are also sponsoring Israel. We don't have to worry about having sponsors like Chevron. You know, we can report on climate truth. We can talk about abortion and the organizing behind it. But we are only able to do that because of listeners like you. So please go to WBAI. Help sustain us. You are our lifeblood. We love being on every week and talking to you. We do this because we believe change is possible, but really we can only do it together. So please consider donating to WBAI today. We're in an emergency situation and we need you. And now we're going to return back to Arizona. As you heard from student organizers speaking at the rally, tensions on campus a couple weekends ago when I recorded that sound were very, very high following the first student-led encampment. There ended up being two, but before that rally was the first one of students calling on the University of Arizona to divest. And if you don't know a whole lot about Tucson, I'll give you a quick update. The war industry is got a pretty strong foothold here. Raytheon is headquarters here. There's a very large Caterpillar facility as well. If you don't know, they make special bulldozers for Israel to, you know, illegally demolish people's homes and build settlements. It was a Caterpillar bulldozer that killed Rachel Corrie. And that has a very, very strong presence here in Tucson. So this encampment was a very, very big deal. And if you've never been to the University of Arizona, there's this very grassy area in the heart of the campus. It's called the Mall. It's a little bit weird because there isn't a whole lot of grass here in Arizona, but that is where the encampment took place on part of it. And then after it was cleared violently by police, it was all cordoned off. So there's these little paths and all of this fencing. It just created this very, very intense military feel on campus. And then the rally was a little bit further down the mall in a portion that was not all blocked off. So, you know, you're having these students fighting for their rights in an environment that felt heavily militarized. And so I, in addition to hearing some of the speakers, I also spoke to Desiree, who is a socialist student organizer, and Jessica, an organizer with the Party for Socialism and Liberation, about how reproductive rights are actually a socialist issue, the connection to Palestine. And we chatted a bit about how both Republicans and Democrats are really failing us here. Let's hear what they had to say.
My name is Desiree. I'm a member of the Students for Socialism Club on campus and also a member of the Party of Socialism and Liberation.
My name is Jessica, and I'm with the Party for Socialism and Liberation in Tucson.
Yeah, so we're here today to talk about abortion rights, which are under attack in Arizona. You mentioned this a little bit while you were speaking, but like, why is this an issue that socialists in particular should care about?
Yeah, so time and time again, we have seen that our abortion rights have always been revoked out. There has just been ongoing battle against our bodies based off our, based off elections. So something that we observe is that many of these fights that we're having always happens in election, in an electoral season. That's even though the Democrats have plenty of time to guarantee our rights without contest and make sure that it's guaranteed for all, we're still fighting the same battle here. So as a socialist, we believe in a system that prioritizes the people and their needs over the wins or profits of an electoral campaign. So that's why we're here to fight for abortion access to be guaranteed once and for all and not to be a bargaining chip in the next campaign season.
Essentially, you know, especially with the overturn of Roe v. Wade, with this appeal, reforms under a capitalist system, you know, they come and go. They give them and they take them away so easily. And so as PSL, you know, we believe that we can only, like, guarantee these rights for everyone with the socialist system and with, you know, abolishing capitalism.
Yeah, you know, the morning after the abortion ban was passed and, you know, I was feeling angry. And one thing that made me feel so angry was thinking about some, like, Washington, D.C. consultant being, like, maybe happy that this will happen because it might help the Democrats win Arizona or something, you
exactly.
know?
We see that even when Kamala Harris came to Arizona to talk about abortion, and she kept blaming Donald Trump for it, even though we're no longer in the presidency of Donald Trump. We're in the presidency of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. We also see her turn a blind eye to many other reproductive issues abroad, such as in Palestine and Gaza. And just for her to come out here in Tucson to speak up, or come out in Arizona to speak about how abortion access should be fought, even though she should be leading that battle, it's really frustrating to see that.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned Palestine and Gaza while you were speaking, and, you know, just even walking over to here, this part of the mall was feeling very surreal with all of the fence. You know, a huge section of the mall has been completely blocked off to repress student, you know, support of Palestine. Anything else you'd like to say kind of on how these issues are connected and these fights are connected?
Yeah, definitely. We see that in Gaza right now because of the university funding investments in the Israeli weapons and Israeli companies, and many women in Gaza are giving birth without anesthesia, are victims of sexual violence from the IDF army. And for Kamala Harris and the other Democratic parties to turn a blind eye to it, it's very frustrating to see that our tax dollars are going to funding genocides and wars abroad instead of building the existing infrastructure we have here for reproductive medicine and abortion. So just again, seeing the contradictions of the both the Democratic Party and also the Republican Party, it makes us, the people, feel like our voice isn't represented. So as a socialist, I believe that everyone's voice should be represented, either through organizing, bargaining, but also being able to take the power in our hands in order to guarantee these rights to abortion, to security, the safety for everyone in the U.S. and also abroad as well.
Now you have Republicans who are claiming to be pro-life, you know, the sanctity of life, and that's their whole argument against abortion. And you also have, you know, Democrats who are saying, you know, we believe in women's rights and the women's right to choose and, you know, women empowerment. yet you have both of these parties involved in sending weapons and billions and trillions of dollars to Israel. And, you know, the genocide right now, there's like over 15,000 murdered women and children. And so it's just complete hypocrisy.
And yeah, so this will be, you know, broadcasting in New York, where people are in like a quote unquote blue state that have abortion rights. What do you want them to know about like what's happening here in Arizona and, you know, people who are organizing in like quote unquote red states?
Yeah, I think the situation in Arizona is really unique. I think you can see the tides changing quite a bit, especially like in the last 6 months. You know, with regards to Palestine and the support for the Palestinian people that we've seen like grow so much, and young people in general, you know, the abortion is not even really like a controversial subject among the actual people living here. It's really just being, you know, fought against by the Supreme Arizona Supreme Court and, you know, the lawmakers essentially. But yeah, people in Arizona are organizing really hard to the best of their abilities to fight against these different institutions, and coming to the realization that, you know, voting blue isn't necessarily the answer, and it's not, you know, it's not the answer as much as they try and paint it that way.
So definitely keep spreading awareness about what's happening in these red states. Just make it serve as a reminder that this could happen to anyone. This could happen to anyone in any state. Not even blue states are safe from violations against their abortion, against protests, against their right to organize. So again, as someone who's been living in a red state but now is becoming into like a purple state, seeing this electoral campaign over our abortion rights gets frustrating a lot. So again, being able to spread awareness, supporting the people's organizing, people protests going on instead of the electoral campaigns in Arizona has like that has been the biggest help here. Just being able to show up, being able to send support to us has been really good.
Yeah, it's funny. I've had like a lot of people be like, oh, well, this isn't New York. You know, socialism isn't going to work here. But I've been out talking to people about public power. I don't know. Like, I feel like socialism could totally happen here. How do you feel?
Yeah, I think, you know, coming also from a blue state, from California, I think I had some preconceptions about Arizona that were wrong. I think, you know, they try and paint it as such a divided, clear cut, you know, red and blue and blah, blah, blah. But the people aren't really for either. You know, the people are for the people. The people are for socialism, and the people are ready to take that power into their hands.
Cool. Is there anything else you'd like to add about this particular issue or any other of the work that you all are doing?
Not really. I say, you know, join an org, get organized. It can feel really isolating to see things happening in the news, and depressing. You know, feel like you're by yourself. But I promise you there are groups out there who are ready to put in the work. And if you're ready to put in that work, then you should join an org and help make a better future a reality.
Amen to that. You're listening to Revolutions Per Minute on listener-sponsored WBAI in New York City, broadcasting at 99.5 FM. I'm Lee Zushi, and you just heard from Desiree and Jessica, two socialists at a rally for abortion rights in Arizona that organized with PSL. The fight for abortion rights is something we have covered a lot here on Revolutions Per Minute. Particularly, it's something that Amy Wilson has done just tremendous, tremendous coverage on for RPM. I honestly felt a little nervous almost even doing this show, because her coverage has been just so thoughtful, so powerful, so rooted in a place of love. And I think that's something that you can really only find on WBAI. You know, Amy didn't just cover what's happened in New York, which, yes, you know, a lot of people might not actually cover what's happened in New York. They think that New York is a safe state. But Amy did some really amazing coverage of, you know, how abortion rights are actually under threat in New York, but also did coverage with some comrades from DSA in Lawrence, Kansas, when Kansas voted to protect abortion rights. She's had comrades from Chicago on. And, you know, not only is there a breadth of like geography that we've covered here on Revolutions Per Minute, I think what's most important is that Amy's coverage and a little bit of what I was hoping to bring you tonight goes beyond just the legislation, right? You know, when this ban passed in Arizona, you know, when
It passed in Florida, all these different bans across the country. When there are ballot initiatives on, you know, it's often becomes an election issue. And there's a really limitation there in real coverage. But, you know, if you go back on our Simplecast, I really recommend, you know, typing in the search for Revolutions Per Minute and then looking up our abortion episodes, because Amy did coverage around self-managed abortion, people getting abortion on campuses and talking to groups that are helping people fund for abortions, or people that are actually doing the kind of mutual aid style works to make sure that people have healthcare. And that is so often missing in the mainstream media coverage around abortion. You know, it just becomes this talking point for Democrats and Republicans to throw back and forth. It doesn't really mean anything, but, you know, we've covered, and you'll hear this soon, you know, things like counter protests in New York to protect people's right to abortion. And I'm just telling you, this is something you are not going to find anywhere else. So if you appreciate this kind of coverage, make sure we can stay on the air. You know, we are in survival mode. Donate what you can to WBAI. You can do that by calling 212-209-2950. You can also go to WBAI.org. Become a monthly donor, become a BA buddy in the name of Revolutions Per Minute, so that we can continue to bring this on the ground coverage, this more in-depth coverage to you every week. And so I do want to actually go back and take a listen to some of this really powerful coverage in just a second from Amy's show. But I do, before we listen, wanted to remind you that we are going to be opening up the phone lines in about 10 or 11 minutes. So if you want to call in a little bit after 7:40, the number is 212-209-2877. If you have thoughts about abortion, the presidential election, Palestine, we want to hear it all. This show is for you. We'd love to hear from you. So again, that number is 212-209-2877. And let's take a listen to some of Amy's previous very powerful coverage in a conversation with a New York organizer.
Good evening, Katie. Welcome back to Revolutions Per Minute.
Thanks so much for having me.
So you were on the show back in late September to discuss an organizing campaign with New York City for Abortion Rights. For those who may have missed the show, can you give us a brief background on what that campaign is and share any updates that you'd like to share since that time?
Yeah, so to recap a bit of what we discussed on the previous episode, since early 2020, we've been counter-protesting a group called Witness for Life that's supported by the Archdiocese of New York. And on the second Saturday of each month, this group would process from St. Paul's Church in Capitol Hill to the Planned Parenthood in Brooklyn Heights. And once they arrived at the Planned Parenthood, they would harass patients, pray in front of the clinic, and pose as fake clinic escorts. Father Fidelis Machinsky, who is the leader of the procession, has been arrested in other states for invading clinics and not leaving until, quote unquote, the abortion stop. So he's, you know, been dragged out of clinics essentially by cops in different, in Philadelphia and New Jersey, and has been arrested over 10 times in the past few years. In New York, he needs a police escort to do the clinic protests. So he refrains, thankfully, from invading the clinics here, but these are still, you know, not peaceful protests. They distract and intimidate patients. They pose as fake clinic escorts and just impede their right to abortion and essential healthcare, which we don't think is acceptable. In our counter protest, we walk slowly in front of the procession, keeping them from reaching the Planned Parenthood as long as we can, while chanting and, you know, holding signs that are pro-abortion and reproductive justice. And at their last procession that happened in Brooklyn in August, two of our comrades were arrested on bogus and then subsequently thrown out charges by the NYPD's Strategic Response Unit, which, you know, I will note, fails to do anything when processioners break laws like the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act or the FACE Act. So yeah, that's the recap. As far as the update for the campaign, we won. woohoo! Incredible. So on October 9th, which was our next scheduled clinic defense, the procession had been canceled in September because, allegedly, because of NYPD not being able to support the group because it was 9/11. So we, you know, missed August, but did a tabling and we're still active in front of the church. But on October 9th, we showed up to Cobble Hill Park in our pre-meeting where we distribute information about what's going to happen and coordinate ourselves. A cop came up to us and bugged us for a bit until we started listening to him. And he told us that the procession was suspended indefinitely. And we, you know, tried to engage with him a bit, but wasn't really, you know, he was just sort of like, I'm just the messenger. It seemed like he was sent by the church to tell us this information. But we, you know, obviously do not trust the police. So we went to the church and found the gates closed and picketed in front for about, you know, 20 minutes, partially just to make sure that no one was going to come and also to sort of celebrate and get all that out. And, you know, especially people for whom this was their first clinic defense, sort of give them a taste of like what that was like. And since we've learned that the Archdiocese of New York had like a newsletter where they said that the Brooklyn procession was canceled until further notice, quote unquote, which is a huge victory for us and for abortion access in New York.
It's really exciting and cool for us as an organizing community to be able to celebrate victories. And I think it is really important to celebrate victories and celebrate successful campaigns, which is what this was, that you identified not only the direct actions, but also the tabling that you did in the neighborhood. You had a petition. You talked to a lot of people in Cobble Hill to raise awareness of this issue. And I think it's fair to say that was a huge reason why you were ultimately successful. So it truly is an organizing victory on your part. And we're just congratulations, really happy for you about that. Can you talk a little bit about the significance of this victory, any lessons that you've learned, and what do you see as the next steps for abortion access organizing, whether that be here in New York City or on the level of building a national movement?
Yeah, so I think the significance of the victory is cannot be understated for us. This was definitely, I think, our biggest victory since we were founded in 2017 as an organization. And I've seen, you know, conflicting information, but Witness for Life claims to have started in Manhattan in 2008. And in 2020, they expanded to Brooklyn and Staten Island and the Bronx. So, you know, there are constantly anti-abortion protesters in front of, especially the Bleecker Street Planned Parenthood. So just the fact that we were able to reduce the number of protesters, you know, in the times that we were counter-protesting and now, you know, just without even our effort or needing to have us counter and, you know, continue to be like a presence in front of the clinic, we were able to enable, you know, patients to receive healthcare with minimal harassment and distraction, which I just think is a huge win for abortion access in New York and beyond. And it's hopefully really encouraging for other groups who do this kind of work to spawn more groups in different parts of the country who do this work. Because, you know, this has been hard for us here, but in other, you know, less liberal places that I can't even, yeah, imagine. That danger feels really real. And there's been, you know, clinic violence all over the country historically and even more recently. Yeah, I think you touched on the lesson of community outreach. That was one of the big takeaways for me, at least, having been involved in some of the tablings, was just letting people know what was happening and just giving them something to do, like letting them know they could call the church, which, you know, we were told by some like high ranking member of the church that of St. Paul's and St. Agnes, the church in Brooklyn where they were hosting Witness for Life, that they'd received over 70 calls asking for the procession to stop or for the church to stop hosting the procession. And we believe that made all the difference, or if, you know, is the reason. The cop who came up to us letting us know that the procession had been canceled indefinitely said that the church was tired of all the attention or unhappy with the attention, which was huge for us. Like, we know we were responsible for a huge amount of that attention. We tabled multiple times in front of the church and handed out thousands of flyers over the course of a few weeks in Cobble Hill and Brooklyn Heights, and also at different sort of pro-abortion marches. So just getting that information out there, giving, you know, people a concrete action to take against the group, that was all really important for us. You know, we also would want to go to the Bronx, where there are a lot, you know, of abortion clinics and counter protesting happening, that Witness for Life still goes there. We have sort of a limited number of people who live around there, but we definitely want to expand our actions all over the city to as many places as we can go, also Staten Island. And I think one thing that might help with that, another lesson that I think at least I think I can say we all learned, is the importance of coordinating with other groups in New York City. So one group, just as an example, was Fire Them All, who provided jail support for us in August when our two comrades were arrested. And obviously, police and carceral abolition is critical to reproductive justice. They're very entwined issues. And making connections between these struggles, I think, is really informative for us and just, you know, helps us build out a mass movement for abortion, which I think is what we need. I think attending even, you know, more leaning liberal events like the Women's March and getting awareness out there that there are groups like us who are, you know, not just a Planned Parenthood nonprofit, that we do direct action. I think that is something that people are looking for. It was important.
Yeah, and I just have to emphasize what you said about the connection with police and prison abolition, because it's so clearly a theme, even in your description of the events of the last couple of months, that the cops are on the side of anti-abortion activists. And we cannot emphasize that enough. As with anything that we discuss here on Revolutions Per Minute, the cops are not your friends. And I'm glad to hear you say that so clearly and so full-throatedly, because I think that's a really cool step forward for the abortion access movement. Well, thanks for coming back to the show. Really happy to have you. And we hope to stay in touch as these campaigns develop. Do you have any final thoughts that you'd like to leave our listening audience with?
Yeah, I think one sort of note of encouragement, but also, you know, depression, is that we can't get complacent about abortion access in New York. If you Google, you know, search in Google Maps for an abortion clinic, you'll get mostly CPCs get suggested to you, crisis pregnancy centers, which are fake abortion clinics that are essentially run by the church. And when you look at the number of clinics that provide abortion services in New York, there's only three in Brooklyn, I've learned, that are currently, you know, running. And the lack of nurses and various sort of labor shortages mean the right to abortion is even maybe harder to get in New York. So I think specifically for New York, we can't get complacent about this. We need more clinics, more resources, and less stigma around this. And I think we need to, you know, pressure, just be out in the streets, be advocating for this. I want to see, you know, us all recognize that this is an incredibly, you know, relevant class and labor and race issue. And I hope that that sort of centrality comes from both us organizing with other groups around different issues that are related, but also, you know, groups like, you know, people in DSA coming out to defend some, fight some fascists with us.
Yes. You know, I'm down, Katie. Thank you so much. and take care.
You're listening to Revolutions Per Minute on listener-sponsored WBAI in New York City, broadcasting at 99.5 FM. And you just heard some archival RPM footage, a very powerful interview from Amy Wilson on defending abortion rights in New York. And I particularly chose that clip and want to highlight a point that Desiree, a socialist organizer in Arizona that we heard from earlier in the show, brought up, is that under capitalism, abortion isn't safe anywhere. And, you know, one thing I've learned is that, you know, progress can be reversed anywhere. So that's just something I wanted to share with you. And again, you can really only find this kind of footage on WBAI. So please, please help us stay on the air. And with that, we'd now love to hear from you, our listeners. Our phone lines are open. The number is 212-209-2877. Again, that number is 212-209-2877. And while we are waiting for folks to call in, I do want to give just a quick
update on where the ballot initiative is to protect abortion rights, restore them in Arizona. I know I said that the legislative part, the ballot initiative part, you know, gets a little too much attention in the media, and like the organizing, the community care, the mutual aid is really important, but it is an interesting thing and will be really important in protecting these rights in Arizona. So in Arizona, you need about 380,000 signatures to get on the ballot. The Abortion Access Initiative has already gotten over 500,000, over 500,000. But I have heard a good amount of those have been thrown out. They're very, very strict here. But it just really is an amazing effort. So they're hoping to get about 800,000 signatures before they are due in July. I did a little bit of similar canvassing. If you were listening last year, there was an effort to try to repeal right to work law in Arizona. So I was doing some canvassing on that. And, you know, it can be tough work. But in general, as I also mentioned with my canvassing around public power, people in Tucson and in Arizona in general, I think, you know, really support these issues, but it is still a pretty amazing effort, you know, from people to get this many signatures. So if you have any thoughts about, you know, protecting abortion rights in New York and other states, we would definitely love to hear from you. So again, that number is 212-209-2877. We're very often hearing that our callers would like more time to speak on air. You got about 10 minutes. I would love to hear from you. So again, that number is 212-209-2877. I guess while we're still waiting for folks to call in, I did just want to expand a little bit on, you know, something that I said when I was talking to Desiree and Jessica about that feeling of anger, you know, the morning after the Supreme Court in Arizona reinstated that Civil War era ban, was just this like anger that, you know, Democrats really haven't done anything to protect our rights. You know, I will say at a federal level, at least in Arizona here, you know, our governor, our attorney general are responding in a pretty proactive way. But you know, that these things could have been protected. You know, we see that Joe Biden can do whatever he wants, when it comes to things like funding Israel. But then all of a sudden throws up his hands when trying to protect abortion rights, or canceling student debt, or making sure we all have healthcare, or taking action on climate. I was just really furious at the thought of some DC consultant being like, oh, sweet, we'll definitely win Arizona now. And while, you know, I might have a tougher decision about, you know, whether I can vote for Joe Biden, you know, living in a state where, you know, he did only win the state by 0.2%, I believe, last year. I think we all need to think about how we actually make sure our votes mean something, and that, you know, not necessarily saying, not recommending any way for people to vote at all, but just thinking about how we actually have leverage in this moment. Would definitely love to hear if you have any thoughts about the upcoming election. There's so many different issues, or if you maybe want to share a moment, one of your favorite Revolutions Per Minute moment. If you appreciate that kind of coverage, maybe you've heard from Amy in the past, our great coverage of, you know, Columbia and other universities organizing against genocide. We would love to hear from you. So I'll repeat that number one more time. It is 212-209-2877. Again, that number is 212-209-2877. We would love to hear from you. WBAI is listener sponsored. We are a grassroots show here on Revolutions Per Minute. You know, as Jessica said, the people are for the people. And we would love to hear from you all. We've got about 7 minutes left. You know, I'm so often told we do not give enough time for our listeners. So again, if you want to call in, it's 212-209-2877. 2877. But, you know, if you don't call in, I've always got, you know, a lot of thoughts, and I'm happy to fill the time. But, you know, honestly, love your feedback, love hearing from you. So if you want to call in, 212-209-2877. And another thing I just kind of want to highlight, you know, while we're waiting for folks to call in, is just what a unique place Arizona is. That's something Jessica kind of mentioned, where we do believe we can build socialist power here. But also as a border state, I've learned just so much about how that changes politics and dynamics here. You know, we have a very militarized border, less than an hour away from Tucson. You know, also as we see the impacts of climate change, we're seeing how that is interacting with this violent occupation of the border wall in Arizona, where people can no longer cross safely in areas where they have, you know, migrated for thousands and thousands of years. I know Israel is also helping to do monitoring on the Fauna Otham reservation. So these issues are so interconnected, and I'm glad we can connect them here on Revolutions Per Minute. And we do have a caller on the line now. Caller, you are live now on WBAI. What is your question or comment?
Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you. Hello.
Okay. Hi. Great, great programming. I see this issue as a woman's rights issue. Although it's abortion per se, but it's my body, you know, and my body is sacred to me. How dare they? Men better get their you-know-what together and be a good father before you tell me what to do with my body, you know. And all these issues are tied. I mean, the sacredness of life and womanhood. So ladies, all the pink hats that went out, come and join the fight. You know, there's a lot more women that feel this way than don't. Don't make it a religious issue. Don't make it a political issue. It's your right, your body. Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling in and sharing your thoughts. We deeply, deeply appreciate that. And just one response that I do have is I definitely agree, you know, that this is a woman's issue. And I think in so many ways, you know, we see this oppression specifically because of, you know, white male control of our country. But I do want to open it up and that it is not just women that get pregnant. We have comrades beyond the binary who can get pregnant, you know, trans comrades who can get pregnant as well. And so this really is an issue of bodily autonomy for anybody that can get pregnant. And I really recommend if folks go to our Simplecast, listen to some of our past issues. We did a really great show that actually talks about bodily autonomy and also how that deals with trans rights. These are very interconnected issues. And yes, we definitely see the oppression of women within the abortion rights. But yeah, there are a lot of people who this impacts. And so we do have just a couple more minutes. We probably have time for one or two more callers. If anyone is interested in speaking, the number is 212-209-2877. And before we wrap up, I do want to give one more pitch. I know you're probably tired of hearing everybody ask for your money. And trust us, we would not be doing it if it wasn't a dire situation and it was completely necessary for us to stay on the air. I can't stress enough how important shows like Revolutions Per Minute are. As someone who does a lot of communications work, it can be so, so hard to fight to get these stories from the grassroots, from the front lines about organizing in the media. And here we are with a station that broadcasts in the greatest city in the world. No shade to Tucson. I love it here, but in New York City, but it comes with a pretty high price tag. So again, if you can give, that number is 212-209-2950. Again, 212-209-2950. 209-2950 or WBAI.org. And just in our final minute, I just want to share something that I have been thinking about a lot with you all. On Friday, May 3rd, it was my 35th birthday. And my partner and I closed on a house, here in Tucson. And I know probably a lot of you have experienced, you know, paying New York City rent. I lived in Brooklyn for almost 10 years. I really never thought that that was something that was ever going to be accessible to me. You know, I was an organizer part-time and I was working at a restaurant as a server and a bartender, and literally almost all of my money went to rent. I never thought that that was something that was going to happen to me, that I'd be able to, you know, afford a house, and felt just so fortunate that this is something that is now going to be happening for me and my partner, that little extra security of knowing that, like, hey, yeah, we're actually investing in something and not spending all our money. But was just incredibly also overwhelmed with these same highs of gratitudes, of lows, of thinking about the people in Palestine whose homes are gone, whose families are gone. And also, you know, my new home is right across from a park where a lot of unhoused folks lived and they've been sweeps. So I just want to have us all remember our global community today. And thank you for everybody who, you know, is helping to keep WBAI a place where this can happen, who are helping us pay the rent. We just cannot express our gratitude enough. So that's all that we've got for you tonight. You've been listening to Revolutions Per Minute on listener-sponsored WBAI in New York City, broadcasting at 99.5 FM and streaming on your favorite podcast app. To connect with us after the show, you can email us at revolutionsnyc@gmail.com. You can find us on our website, revolutionsperminute.simplecast.com. Like I said, we've got some really great episodes from the past that I recommend you listen to. You can also find us on Twitter or X, whatever you call it, at NYCRPM. I'm Lisa Shee. Have a great night in New York City. We'll catch you next week.
You're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York, streaming live and available on demand at WBAI.org.
Power does what it wants. So now they're just more naked about it. Now they just put it right out front and say, this is what we're doing to you folks. It's, you know, this country's finished. It's been sliding downhill a long time. And everybody's got a cell phone that makes pancakes, so they don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to make any trouble. People have been bought off by gizmos and toys in this country, and no one questions them anymore. Seriously, that's what I love about your show. I mean, you bring the thing right to them, and that's the only way to do it.
As you know,
BAI, an experience unto itself, a radio station not like any other.
Support us. Go to towerfund.wbai.org or call 212-209-2950 and make a donation to keep things going.
The next WBAI Community Advice Report meeting will be on Sunday, May 19th, 2024 at 1 p.m. The call-in number is 619-309-1058. The PIN number is 641711. Everyone is welcome to call in and join the meeting. Again, the call-in number is 619-309-1058. The PIN number is 641711. Hope to see you at the meeting.
This
This is the mic check for Cat Radio Cafe.
Testing.
Testing.
Tune into Cat Radio Cafe Tuesday night at 9 here on WBAI.
I'm Janet Coleman.
I'm David Dozer.
Displaced playwright on Tuesday, May 14th at 9 p.m. we'll be joined by Marx Brothers experts Noah Diamond and Kathy Beal to discuss Marx Fest 2024, a star-studded celebration of the comedic legacy of Chico, Harpo, Groucho, Gummo, and Zeppo over two long weekends in the city of their births.
Tuesday night at 9 here on WBAI.
Cat Radio Cafe.
Hey, do cats drink coffee?
Ooh, with two poached eggs, two fried eggs, two scrambled eggs, and two hard-boiled eggs.
Well, make that three hard-boiled eggs.
Make that three hard-boiled eggs.
Hey, this is Baby Kay.
And this is DJ Kyle McNeil.
Of The Sweet Spot. And we are so excited to announce our brand new time slot, Tuesday nights, 10 p.m. to midnight.
Same great soulful sounds, old and new.
Brand new day, Tuesdays at 10 p.m.
Only on WBAI 99.5 FM.
New York.